And the first reading is verse 24 to 25, and then 36 to 39, and then from 46 to the end. So verse 24. Then Daniel went to Arioch, whom the king had appointed to execute the wise men of Babylon, and said to him, "Do not execute the wise men of Babylon. Take me to the king, and I will interpret his dream for him." Arioch took Daniel to the king at once and said, "I have found a man among the exiles of Judah who can tell the king what his dreams mean." Verse 36. "This was the dream, and now we will interpret it to the king. You, O king, are the king of kings. The God of heaven has given you dominion and power and might and glory. In your hands he has placed mankind and the beasts of the field and the birds of the air. Wherever they live, he has made you ruler over them all. You are that head of gold. After you, another kingdom will rise, inferior to yours. Next, a third kingdom, one of bronze, will rule over the whole earth." Verse 46. Then the king of Nebuchadnezzar fell prostrate before Daniel and paid honor and ordered that an offering of incense be presented to him. The king said to Daniel, "Surely your God is the God of gods and the Lord of kings and a revealer of mysteries, for you are able to reveal this mystery." Then the king placed Daniel in a high position and lavished many gifts on him. He made him ruler over the entire province of Babylon and placed him in charge of all wise men. Moreover, at Daniel's request, the king appointed Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego administrators over the province of Babylon, while Daniel himself remained at the royal court.
Now, for those of you who were here last Sunday evening when Dave started us off in chapter 1, chapter 1 of this book informed us that the Israelites were now in exile. The king of Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar, had besieged Jerusalem, and God had allowed Israel to be defeated. And among those who were taking to Babylon was Daniel and his three friends, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Now, for those of you like me who like to know where these countries are from the Old Testament, where they are today, Babylon or Babylonia is actually modern-day Iraq. Very different place than what it was in Nebuchadnezzar's time. As a matter of interest, the actual city of Babylon, which where Nebuchadnezzar and Daniel and his friends are, no longer exists at all in Iraq. Apparently there is a mound there where it used to be. So I think Nebuchadnezzar would be a bit upset if he was around today. Now, Daniel and his friends had done well in Babylon, and they had entered the king's service. They were highly respected for their wisdom and for their understanding, even though they were only young men. And we guess they were round about in their late teens. So they were only young men, but they were well respected. And at the beginning of chapter 2, we read King Nebuchadnezzar has been dreaming. We all dream, don't we? And sometimes we wake up and we think, "I am glad that dream is over," or "I am glad that was just a dream." Anyway, Nebuchadnezzar had been dreaming, and he was not happy. It was saying that he is troubled by the dreams, so much so that it is disturbing his sleep. Doesn't matter where you are, doesn't matter how much cash you've got, what power you've got, what status you've got, whether you're king, queen, or living in a hovel, you still have problems, don't you? And Nebuchadnezzar did. He calls in his magicians, enchanters, sorcerers, and astrologers, and tells them to interpret the dream which troubles him. Now, the king's troubles become the magicians, enchanters, sorcerers, and astrologers' problems now. Because the king wants the meaning of the dream, but he is not prepared to tell the sorcerers and the astrologers and the magicians what the dream is. And if they can't come up with an answer for the king, you see what we read there, that they would be cut up into pieces and that their homes would be brought to rubble. Such a nice person. And it also shows you the cruelty of the day, doesn't it? The way things were. But of course, these kings of old had this immense power over everybody. So these so-called wise men know that they have an impossible task and say to the king, there is not a man on earth who can do what the king asks. What the king asks is too difficult. And we know how the king responds to this. He becomes extremely angry and furious, the Bible tells us, and orders all the wise men of Babylon to be executed. This, of course, also includes Daniel and his friends. Daniel goes to King Nebuchadnezzar and asks for time that he, Daniel, might be able to interpret the dream. Daniel then returns home and speaks to his friends. And he says, pray to God, he says, and ask for mercy and also an understanding of the dream. How sensible Daniel was. How sensible that he should encourage his friends to ask for God's help first. In times of trouble, God expects us to come to him for help. After all, he is our Heavenly Father. He is our Heavenly Father. Now, what does a child do if a small child is upset or worried or anxious? They go to their parents, don't they? And they ask for help. They ask for support. They ask for their parents very often to take the problem away from them, don't they? For those of you who are parents, how many times have you been asked to take the troubles of your children away from you? And there are times when we wished we could have done. But our Heavenly Father loves us and cares for us, and therefore we can always go to him because he loves us and he cares for us, just as small children go to their parents for help. So did God answer the prayers of Daniel and his friends? Of course he did. Of course he did. And that night we are told that Daniel received a vision from God about the dream, what the dream was, and more importantly, what its meaning was. What a relief. I'm sure that Daniel leapt out of bed in the morning. And what did he do? In verse 19, he tells us that he praised God. Daniel praises God. Quite understandably, we would have done exactly the same. Then we have this lovely prayer of Daniel's in verses 20 to 23. And the prayer reminds us that wisdom and power belong to God. So important for us to remember that in this day and age, isn't it? That wisdom, I'm talking about true wisdom and power, belong to God. The prayer also reminds us that he reigns over times and seasons. He rules over kings. He can lift them up and he can bring them down. And we know there are many places in the Old Testament where we read that. He is the God who knows all things, including the hidden things of life. He is the sovereign Lord. And yet he answers the prayers of his people. What an amazing God we have, who rules over the universe. And yet we can come to him with our prayers. They may seem very small to us, but important. And yet God is not only willing to hear, but also to answer. Also, Daniel says in his prayer that God has given him wisdom and power. And so he has. But we can say as believers, God has given us Jesus. We can also say as believers that God has given us his truth. And so he has. He's given us his truth in our hearts, in understanding his ways. And his word directs our paths. And the Holy Spirit lives within us. And we have, wait for it, a guaranteed future. A guaranteed future. Why do we know it's guaranteed? Because God has committed himself to us. And we have a New Testament covenant where Jesus says that he has gone to prepare a place for us. And one day he is coming back for us. And then Daniel speaks to Arioch, the commander of the king's guard. And he says, "I take me to the king." But also he says, "Don't kill any of the wise men, because I have an interpretation of the dream." So Daniel gets an audience with the king and explains to the king this, that no man can explain the mystery of your dream. But, in verse 28 it tells us, but there is a God in heaven who will reveal what will happen in the days to come. You notice that Daniel gives the honor to God. He doesn't take it to himself. There is a God in heaven who can reveal what will happen in the days to come. And so, what is it that Daniel explains to the king? Thank you, Chris. This is what the king dreams about. This statue with the gold head. And it has a chest and arms of silver. It has a belly and thighs of bronze. The legs are made of iron. And the feet are made of iron and clay. This is what the king saw. And then this is what God reveals to Daniel in his dream. but also gives him the interpretation. And what happens is, this rock which you see here, the Bible tells us that there was a rock which came and smashed the feet of this statue. And it says that the rock was not hewn by human hands. So we know who sent the rock, don't we? God sent the rock, and it smashed the feet of the statue. There we have the feet, which are made of iron and clay. We're all Bible users. We've read about iron and clay before. We've heard the Bible saying that men have feet of clay. We know that because of the world in which we live in. So I'm going to have to include ladies, I'm afraid, that there are many ladies whose feet are made of clay as well. But also what happens is that when the rock smashes the feet, that the whole statue shatters, and a wind comes along, the Bible tells us, and blows it all away. But the rock got larger and larger and larger and larger till it filled the whole world. So what was all this about? So then Daniel was able to explain what this all meant. If we can have the next one, please, Chris. There we are. Daniel said to the king, "The gold head is your kingdom, the kingdom of Babylonia. There will be a kingdom which will come after yours, which will be inferior to yours, and it is the kingdom of Persia. There will be another kingdom which will come after that kingdom, and that is the kingdom of Greece." You remember, those of you who are history buffs, Alexander the Great, and so on, and his kingdom. And then after that will come a kingdom which is made of iron, and iron smashes everything, Daniel tells the king. And that was the kingdom of Rome. So this is what Daniel explained to the king, which God had given him. All of these man-made kingdoms here, but they were powerful kingdoms. They were powerful kingdoms. And in verse 44 we read this: "In the time of those kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom that will never be destroyed, nor will it be left to another people. It will crush all those kingdoms and bring them to an end, but it will itself endure forever. This is the meaning of the visions of the rock cut out of the mountain, but not by human hands. A rock that broke the iron, the bronze, the clay, the silver, and the gold to pieces. The great God has shown the king what will take place in the future. The dream is true, and the interpretation is trustworthy." So, there we have it. This is what Daniel was able to tell the king. I'm not surprised that the king was a bit troubled about all of this, because maybe he thought that his kingdom would last forever. But we know that the kingdoms of men never last forever. They will always fail. Now, the kingdom that would be set up would be the kingdom when Jesus came, which, of course, you remember when Jesus came, who was in charge? It was the Romans, wasn't it? So there we have it. We have these kingdoms, man-made, powerful, cruel. They covered so much of Europe and Africa and beyond. And they probably thought that they would never fail. Look at the Roman Empire. That's probably we know more about the Roman Empire than anywhere. But how that failed through corruption and through cruelty and all the other things. But we know also that the kingdom of God can never fail. And Jesus came when the Romans were in charge. And therefore, that is the kingdom which talks about here, the kingdom that will never be destroyed. And it will crush all of those kingdoms and bring them to an end. Verse 44. When you think about it, and we look across the world, and we see the power which is in certain blocs, which the power which is in certain presidents and kings, and in countries where there are dictators, they all have feet of clay, don't they? And only Jesus and his kingdom can last forever. The kingdoms of men will fail. Now here was, what do we read at the end of this chapter? We find that verse 48. Now let's read what the King Nebuchadnezzar says. In verse 47, the king said to Daniel, "Surely your God is the God of gods and the Lord of kings and a revealer of mysteries, for you were able to reveal this mystery." Then the king placed Daniel in a high position and lavished many gifts on him. He made him ruler over the entire province of Babylon and placed him in charge of all his wise men. Moreover, at Daniel's request, the king appointed Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego administrators over the province of Babylon, while Daniel himself remained at the royal court. The amazing thing about this is that these young men were in exile. Israel was in exile. Where is God in this? He's close by. Although God has allowed Israel to go into exile, God's power is not diminished in any way. He still has his hands upon those who belong to him. And Daniel and his friends were trusting God. Were trusting God for the time that they were in Babylon and working and in the king's service, and for the days ahead as well. And so God's control and God's power is not limited or diminished because of country boundaries, because his power goes throughout the whole world, we read in God's word. So Daniel trusts God for the present and for the future, as we do ourselves. And so we thank God that he knows both the present and our future. And we can trust him because we belong to him. We're his children. And he has brought us to himself.